Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right. Hey, we're into our third week of the series, Success is Not a Secret. And we're talking about how God really does want people to be successful. Now, we've defined success in the past, and I don't have time to kind of reiterate that, but we're not just talking about material success or achievement. We're talking about the kind of success that goes from one area of your life all the way to the other side of your life, from horizon to horizon in your life, successful in relationships, successful in your personal well-being, and most importantly, being successful in your walk with God. We've already taken some time and talked about the first two. The first one, of course, was put people first. And if you didn't get and have access to these when you were here, if you didn't make those services, please go online. You can watch them. You can get messages from our podcast. You can sign up for the podcast. You can get CDs. You can all kind of ways. So anyway, you can watch the messages. Make sure you take full advantage of those. Last week, David Falk was here. How many of you enjoyed David? Wasn't he a blessing? Can you believe that guy is 43 years old? I'm telling you, it's surgery. No, so we had David do Stay Fit, and man, people just had a great time with him and always do. And this week, we're talking about the third value, take next steps. Now, these seven values they're all standalone messages, but they're values that literally we have adopted as a church. Our staff, we've adopted these in our day-to-day operations because they produce sustainable success. These transcend these aren't just about your spiritual life. All of these principles work in every area of everyday life. Everybody say everyday life. That's what I want to make sure that we really focus on. Success is about everyday life. Religion is about an hour, hour and a half on a weekend. Jesus wants to be literally involved in our everyday life. Now, how we've written it for our staff is this: take next steps. We all have a next step. Find yours and take it. Then help someone else to find their next step and walk with them as they take it. That is one of that value is so incredibly important. And we're going to kind of delve into that this morning to kind of help you understand how that produces success in a person's life. This church exists to help you find your next step in God. It really does. And it exists to create a culture where other people can come alongside you. We can come alongside one another and help each other take our next steps in God. See, church can be a place, depending on your background, where, in fact, I've had people through the years come to me, and I know what they mean by this, but it's not biblical. It's not a godly perspective. But in so many words, here's what they say to me. You know, when I come to church, I need to leave feeling bad. I said, well, explain. They mean, make me feel badly enough about myself that I'll change. In other words, it's that if I can tear you down enough in a service, you'll leave built up. Now, I understand that makes no sense, but religion says God's angry at you, God's against you, and if you don't watch it, he's going to wipe you out. So you better walk real closely, because I'm telling you, don't get on his bad side. And so people have a mindset. And then I've had more the religious kind of person, and I don't say this critically, but I also say that very honestly, I have no intention of meeting the needs of a Pharisee. None. But I've had people come to me and say things of this nature. You know, you just need to preach more against sin. And they want me to kind of find all the things wrong in the society and spend weekends on this problem and that problem and this problem. And so I always have fun. You know, I like to have fun. Doesn't mean you do, but at least I'm in my own little world. And I have, sometimes I'll just be sitting all alone in my house and start laughing. I'm not kidding. And Michelle will be with me sometimes. I'll just start laughing. She'll look over and she's like, you're having your own party over there, aren't you? But I always tease people and say, I'll tell you what. You tell me the sin that you're messed up in and we'll use you as an example. We'll start with you. But nobody ever wants you to talk about that sin. They want to talk about the ones that bother them about other people. That's the prayer of a Pharisee. God, I thank you that I'm not like those other people. This church does not exist for that culture. This church exists so that we can come alongside one another and help each other take our next steps in God in real life, in real time, with real problems. Anybody here have some real problems? Am I the only one in real life? Anybody have issues? Anybody married to somebody with issues? You get a better response on that one all the time. You know, we're always doing this in our natural lives. We're always looking to take next steps in our natural lives. Think of just the way we structure childhood in our culture. You say, well, I don't have children. Well, you were probably once a child. How many of you are either, if you're an adult, were you once a child? Raise your hand. That's awesome. But when you're a kid, I mean, everything's structured by next steps. You know, when it used to be that school started at first grade, and then they added kindergarten, and now it's preschool. And now you can take a class on how to tumble when you're a toddler. No, I'm serious. There are tumbling classes. That used to be called kids playing, but now it's a class that you pay $20 a shot for it. And you say, are you putting that down? No, I think those people are brilliant. They should run the government. I mean that sincerely. Those are incredibly bright people that can tell you as a parent how to give them money so your kid can tumble. God bless you. If you own a tumbling studio, listen, I mean this sincerely. Capitalism is a beautiful thing. But the thing of it is, it's always next steps. First grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. Go ahead and ask a little kid how old you are. How old are you? 7 and a half, almost 8? Always next steps. Go ahead and ask a 49-year-old woman how old she is. 49 and a half, almost 50? Not gonna happen. You know, when you're 49, your birthday is in an hour, and they say, how old are you? 49. You don't even say almost 50 when the clock is, you stay up, you go to bed before midnight because you don't want to see it happen. Next steps. We're always, always, always defining our life and next steps. Kids get into school, into high school. SATs. How many of you have either taken the SATs or your kids have? Raise your hand. Now, I have to be honest now. Here's my SAT prep in high school. I had no idea what it was, except I had to go. The school said, if you're going to college, you have to take this test. That was my prep. So I showed up at the test on a Saturday, which I thought, well, this is horrible. And I remember the lady checking us in. Will this go on my report card? I mean, I'm telling you, I had no idea what it was, none. She said, no, and she tried to explain it to me. I said, will my father see these grades? She went, well, it's not likely unless he's interested in your, and I thought, well, Shazam. I went in my SAT class and my little test and just went, I just filled in all the, I tried to make patterns thinking that might look good. That's how I took my SATs. Now, my son did really well on those tests. And so, I mean, in one of them, he came close to a perfect score. And so you know, I said, Ryan, your dad has the record. He said, what do you mean? I said, baby, I have the lowest SAT score on record. Next steps. We all have them. We all have them. Spiritually speaking, they're critically important in your life. Your most important next step, listen to me, please. Your most important next step is your next step spiritually. It's more important than your next step in your career. It's more important than your next step financially. It's more important than your next step not spiritually, but in any other area of your life, even relationally. It is so important. There aren't words to use to tell you how important it is that you discover and take your next step in God. Because taking your next step in God is the foundation from which all other steps in your life will be able to prosper by the hand of God. That you won't gain something at the expense of losing something more precious. But most people end up getting stuck in life. In fact, they don't know how to take next steps. Anybody here ever felt stuck? Am I the only one? You ever just felt stuck? It might be your marriage, might be, maybe your health. You figured out. And most people get stuck in their relationship with God. They don't know what to do next. And that's what I want to help you with today. understanding how important it is, how God values your next step. Look what the scripture says in Psalms 37, verse 23. The scripture says, the steps of a good man are directed or ordered by the Lord. He delights in each step that they take. God blesses your steps, not your leaps. And that's what happens to most people. They get stuck because they're looking for a leap beyond where they are. If your marriage is in the tanker, and I don't make you feel bad, but you know, that happens. How many of you know a room this size, you're watching this on television, or you're watching it online, or you're listening to the podcast, it's likely a good percentage of the people who are sitting here watching this right now, at least a fair percentage, have marital issues. Anybody ever have those marital issues? Oh, you liar. Anybody ever have marital issues? Well, what people want is their marriage to get better because they're in pain, and they want it to get better in like 2 hours. But that's not how it works. You've got to take next steps to get your marriage better. And the reason most people can't improve things is they get stuck and they're looking for a leap rather than a next step. Don't try to figure out the next 5 years of your life. Figure out your next step. Because when you put spiritual things first and you begin to grow spiritually, you will empower every other arena and area of your life to succeed. Spiritual growth and development is so critically important in your life. When you understand that you as a Christian are to grow spiritually, here's spiritual growth in a nutshell. It's when your inward life rules your outward life. When your relationship with God through Jesus governs your choices, governs the way you think, governs the way you speak, governs the way you act. And to the degree you're learning to be governed by that inward man rather than the outward man, for the scripture says, I delight to do the will of God after my inward man. Spiritual growth can always be defined to the extent that your inward man has gained the ascendancy over the outer man, that you're learning to live a spiritually governed life. Listen to what 1 Corinthians says about God's desire to work with you. For we are God's, 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are God's co-workers. You are God's farmland and you are God's building. God is involved in your next steps. See, religion will tell you your next steps are a ladder that you have to climb to get God's attention, but it's not true. Your next step is to respond to the fact that he loves you. Your next step is to respond to the fact that God said, I want to labor, listen now, together with you. You are God's garden. You are God's farmland. You are God's building. God said, I want to build something in you. I want to develop something in you. And a farm, it doesn't happen overnight. There are steps. A building doesn't just appear. It has to be built. Your spiritual life has to be built through next steps. Now, these next steps are not things you do to make God love you. These are next steps that you do in conjunction with the fact that he does love you and that he says to you, I want to labor together with you. Now, I've never watched this program very much. I've only seen it a couple times on television, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Has anybody ever watched Shark Tank? That's a really interesting show where entrepreneurs come in with some interesting idea, some innovation, and they meet with the sharks or investors, and they try to convince them to buy into their project. And people get really excited when somebody of great wealth or great value or great, if you will, influence wants to partner with them. Now, I don't know any of the other names of any of the people, except I know who Mark Cuban is because he owns a basketball team, and he's from Pittsburgh. And so at least the Pittsburgh part I like about him. But anyway, here's the deal. Mark Cuban, you know, if Mark Cuban says, I want to buy into your product, well, that person's excited because they are now laboring together with a billionaire. And so the billionaire is now going to invest in my product. In fact, my success, now listen, is his success. And his success is my success. I am now connected to a very, very successful individual who has an interest in me doing well. How many of you know it's a good thing to have a billionaire as your partner? And I'll try this out if you don't know that. It's a good thing if you're in business and a billionaire wants to partner with you and wants to use their resources to help you win. And I really do like the show. I got to find out when it's on DVR or whatever. But here's the deal, is that there's such an excitement in the people when somebody's going to partner with them. But they partner because they want something from the project. They own you, if you will. They want a piece of the action, and their deal is to get as much out of those people as possible in order to partner with them. God's just the opposite. He partners with you, and he gave everything for the privilege. Oh, how he loves you. Now, don't misinterpret this. The scripture says that you are bought with a price. You belong to God. Oh, but the price he paid for you. It wasn't money, it wasn't silver, it wasn't gold, it wasn't corruptible things of such. It was the blood of the Son of God that purchased you. Oh, how you matter to God. You are his building, you are his farmland, you are his garden, and there are next steps for you to get to where God's called you to be. Isaiah 48 says this about our God. He said, I make known the end from the beginning. This is your partner. He puts Mark Cuban and all the other sharks to shame. No offense. He said, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times. What is still to come? I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Revelation 1:8, referring to our Savior, said this, I, Jesus, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the beginning and the end, says the Lord your God. I am the one who is, who always was, who is still to come. I am the Almighty One. That's your partner. And he has next steps for you. Now, there are three questions I want you to process today. These are real life questions. These are action questions. These are drive on the way home, apply to your life questions. And the real simple is this. Will you or will God determine your next step? And then number two, will you take your next step? And then number three, what is your next step? Really simple. When you leave today, I want you to either know or understand three simple things. Either I'm going to put God in control of my next step, or I'm going to stay in control. And then, secondly, if I do discover my next step, am I going to take it? But lastly, what is my next step? Most people are stuck because they don't know. They don't know what their next step. And I'm going to outline to you very clearly today some next steps that should apply to virtually everybody here, that you can help kind of wrap your life around that and say, God, what's my next step? What's your next step for me? Let's look at the first one. I'm going to, in fact, wrap the first two questions together in that, will you or God determine your next step, and then will you take it? Let me illustrate it first from a story in Scripture from the Old Testament. The Syrian army had laid siege around the people of God, and they burned their crops, and they there was no food allowed to get in, and they were starving to death. It had gotten so bad that two women made a deal that they would kill their children and eat them. How many of you know it's desperate when people are killing their children to sustain life? And so this woman kills her son, and they boil the boy and eat him. And then the other mother reneges and hides her son from her. She goes to the king complaining. And the king is so devastated, not by the dilemma that the lady's in, but by the fact the people that in my kingdom are literally eating each other to sustain life. Now, we find four lepers on the outside of that community. They weren't even in the community. It had gotten so bad that for what would amount in today's dollars, you would pay about $500 for what would amount to a bottle cap full of Dove's dung. How many of you know when you pay $500 for dove poop, it's a bad day? Now, how many of you know that's a bad place to be? Well, these four lepers were in such a place, but they weren't even in where you could get the dove's dung. They were on the outside of the city because they weren't permitted to be with people. And these four lepers were in a place to where they're about to take a next step. Now, you may not ever be, and I hope you're not, ever in a place of desperation like these people were. But can I tell you this? If you live long enough, you will get to a place, and you may be there right now, where you become desperate, where life brings desperation to you. And this doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter how smart you are, doesn't matter your education, doesn't matter if you've had advantage or disadvantage in life. Everybody comes to a place in your life where you can just look and say, I don't know what to do. And we can get stuck. And then by and large, we can just get so busy in life, even if things aren't in crisis, where we just go through the mundane things of life and we don't intentionally take our next step. Let me read you from 2 Kings chapter 7. Now you know the context of where these four lepers were. Now there were four lepers sitting outside the city gates. Listen to this statement. "Why sit here until we die?" they asked each other. "We will starve if we stay here, and we will starve if we go back into the city. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Syrian army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, well, we would have died anyway." So that evening they went to the camp of the Syrians, but there was no one there. For the Lord had made the whole Syrian army hear the clatter of speeding chariots and loud galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. The king of Israel had hired the Hittites, if they believed, and the Egyptians to attack us, they cried out. So they panicked, they fled in the middle of the night, abandoning everything, their tents, horses, donkeys, and everything else. When these four men made the decision, "I'm not just going to stay here, I'm going to take a next step." Now they were in a place of desperation. And here's what a wise person learns to do. Wisdom is when you take next steps when you're not in a place of desperation. A lot of times people will take next steps when they have no other options. A wise person, and this church exists so that you can create an environment of wisdom in your life where you're always looking for your next step in everyday life, in your next step in your walk with God. What is my next step? Notice that when they took their feeble steps and literally thought they were likely going to die, God took their next steps and he added his power to it. The people that they thought, can you imagine? Four lepers, the outcast of that society, walking toward the Syrian army, sounded like three major armies coming at one time. Let me tell you, your next steps are not alone. You labor together with God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Every step you take in him, he labors together with you. Now, one of my favorite movies is The Lion King. And I think part of it is because I watched it 200 times when my kids were little. And I just kind of connected to when my kids were little, so it kind of is nostalgic to me. But there's a scene in The Lion King where Simba, the little baby lion, is about to be devoured by hyenas. And I want you to see what happens when he begins to act and his father shows up. And it says, just take a look at this clip and we'll get right back into it.
Well, 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 Banzai, what have we got here?
I don't know, Shenzi. What do you think, Ed?
Yeah, just what I was thinking. A trio of trespassers.
And quite by accident, let me assure you. A simple navigational error.
Whoa, wait. I know you. You're Mufasa's little stooge.
Aye, madam. I'm the king's majordomo.
And that would make you...
the future king.
Do you know what we do to kings who step out of their kingdom?
You can't do anything to me.
Technically, they can. We are on their land.
But Zazu, you told me they're nothing but slobbering, mangy, stupid poachers.
Ixnay on the Oopid's Day.
Who are you calling Oopid's Day?
My. Oh, look at the sun. It's time to go.
What's the hurry? We'd love you to stick around for dinner.
Yeah, we could have whatever's lying around.
Wait, I got one. Make mine a cub sandwich. What you think?
What, Ed? What is it?
Hey, did we order this dinner to go?
No.
Why?
Because there it goes!
Here, kitty.
That was it? Do it again.
Huh?
Hey, oh, please.
Ow, ow.
Hey, come on, we're going to shut up right now.
I'll tell you. We're really sorry.
If you ever come near my son again.
Oh, this is your son?
Oh, yours?
Did you know that?
No, me? I didn't know. No, did you?
No, of course not.
No.
Ed?
Isn't that fun? I love The Lion King. That's a fun movie. You know, that's exactly what our next steps feel like the first roar. They feel so insignificant in the face of the things that you have to encounter in life. But the truth of it is, when you take next steps in God, what happens is just what happened there. You literally labor together with God. It's my heart's desire that today you and I all come to a place of humility in Christ, that we understand that you can go your own way. You can take your own next steps as a Christian. You can keep God on the periphery of your life. You can choose to just kind of be a nominal, show up at church once in a while Christian. Or you can truly submit your life to Christ and find and take your next steps. Listen to what the scripture says in Proverbs 16, verse 25. For there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We could read it this way. There are next steps that seem like the next steps we should take with our life. But in the end, they take us somewhere we don't want to be. You see, God, the scripture tells us, resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What I want you to see that what is required to thrive and succeed in God. Listen, you can succeed in life in that you can build, if you will, one little tower of success. And you might find an area here or an area there of life in which you find success. In fact, what most people do is where they find success, they literally build their whole life there. And all the other areas of their life that are suffering, they ignore and keep building the thing that makes them successful. And they do so to their own detriment. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. There is a place of humility that every Christian has to come to where you submit yourself to God. And in submitting yourself to God, you say, Father, what is my next step? Because something happens in the life of a person humbly submitted to God that makes what happened in our fun clip look like child's play, which it kind of is. But let me read it to you in James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, and then we'll go down to verse 10. But he, God, gives us more grace. Everybody say more grace. Now, let me stop for a moment. Grace is the enablement of God. Grace is divine enablement to do in your life what you cannot do on your own. Grace is the ability of God to show up in your everyday life. How many of you like to have some grace in your marriage? How many of you know that in marriage you're called heirs together of the grace of life? Do you know there's grace to be a parent? Do you know there's grace to be a mom and a dad, a husband, a wife, grace to be a friend, grace to have a career path? There is divine enablement available to you. But there are conditions by which you will achieve or, if you will, embrace or walk in light of this enablement, or you can be on your own. Listen to what he says. But he gives us more grace. That's why the scripture says, God resists the proud, but shows favor and gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, or then to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Now listen to verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humility is a place to where you say, Father, your way, not my way. Humility is when you yield yourself to what God has for you. And God says that when you humble yourself, I give you divine enablement. And by the action of me enabling you, I will lift you up. And lifting up in God is not an overnight process. It's next steps. And that's why the scripture said, except the Lord build the house, those who build it labor in vain that do build. Many people are building something that God's not in. It's of their own nature, their own strength, their own volition. And that's all it is. And it's a house of cards and it won't stand. But as a believer, you can take next steps. You are called to take next steps. Let me illustrate it this way. Here's the difference between doing it God's way and doing it our own way, with our own ability. It's the difference between climbing 500 steps and going up an escalator. You're both standing on steps. One carries you, the other you're on your own. And what I want you to see is that taking your next steps are critical, because every part of my life, every part of your everyday life, my everyday life has a next step. And it's going to do one of three things in our life. Number one, it's going to do this. If you take next steps in God, it's going to take you into God's provision. Or it's going to take you into your own resource, and that's it. Or worse yet, thirdly, it can take you into the enemy's territory. When kings leave their kingdom like little Simba. And get you, how many of you ever found yourself in places you didn't want to be? Has anybody ever been there? And you don't know your way out? Your next step. The old adage, if you're in a hole, first step is stop digging. And what most people want to do is they just want something to change, but it doesn't happen that way. You must take next steps. So our third question, what is your next step? What is the next step that you're supposed to take as a Christian? Now, let me tell you this about next steps. Just like the four lepers, your next step can appear to be feeble. It can appear to be insignificant. And can I tell you this? Virtually every next step you take in God will at the moment appear to be something very insignificant. What's the big deal? It's why most people don't do it. In fact, most people are looking for something hard or difficult. When God's not asking you to do anything hard and difficult, He's asking you to yield to Him and simply do the next step. Because every next step you take in God, you step into divine enablement. I wish I had words to... I don't know how to communicate to you what I've experienced in 30 years of being a Christian. It's some level of consistency yielding to what God had for our lives, as imperfectly as anyone could, but it isn't about being perfection or being perfect. It's about yielding to God. And God shows up in an everyday normal human being's life, and He enables them, and it's divine. And He will lead you and guide you and open doors that no man can close. And He will close doors that no man can open. And you will labor together with God, and you will be God's garden. You will be God's house. And He does. How many of you know our God is not a failure? He's never built. God's never gotten involved in an endeavor and lost. And He wants to labor together with you. So here's the question. What is your next step? Let me tell you one next step that every Christian should take. You say, well, it's not going to sound like a big deal. It's always a big deal to do what God tells you to do. How many of you have given your life to Jesus? He's the Lord of your life. Wave at me. That's a good thing, isn't it? Do you know that the next step for a Christian, once you've given your life to Jesus, is to be water baptized? So, that's not that big of a deal, and I don't like getting my hair wet. Well, because most people don't understand the significance, they put off obeying God to take the next step of your life. May 23rd and 24th, when we celebrate that weekend, that is our last weekend where we're doing this series, and that value is called Celebrate Often. And we want to celebrate with you to be water baptized that weekend, part of that weekend. You say, but I'm just not into that. That's the whole point of the message. When we lean to our own understanding and say, well, that's no big deal. It's a very big deal to God. Because water baptism is your public declaration and identification with the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is you publicly saying, Jesus is the Lord of my life. That's where Jesus said it this way, if you deny me before men, I deny you before my Father. What is He saying? I died for you openly on a cross. What He asked you through water baptism to do is to make a public declaration that Jesus is the Lord of your life. You go into that water dry or outside of Christ. You get immersed in the water, symbolically saying, I'm in Christ or covered in Him, and you come up new in Him. It's one of the most significant steps you'll ever take. But most Christians today just kind of, it's periphery. Or they say this, well, I was baptized as a baby. Don't take this offensively, but it didn't count. They say, well, are you saying it wasn't significant? No, it might have been wonderfully significant, even sacred to your family. And there's nothing wrong with it. But you weren't baptized. What you were was a wet baby. Because to be water baptized according to Scripture, you have to confess with your mouth Jesus as the Lord of your life. And you might have been a bright kid, but you weren't that bright. So your next step. So let's make it practical. Let's make it simple. May 23rd and 24th, if you've never been water baptized, you can do so that weekend. Now you have a decision to make. Will you go your way or God's? It's that simple. That's how discipling, being a disciple of Jesus gets that simple. Yes or no? There is no middle ground. See, religion kind of clouds your mind. You'll kind of just kind of feel like I'm just kind of out there in this nomad's land. It's not the truth. It's a yes or a no all the time. It's a yes, God, I will submit to you. I will walk in your grace. I will expect your ability in my life, or I'll go my own way. It's not that big of a deal, Pastor. It's not that big of a deal. Plus, I don't like getting my hair wet. Now, here's the deal. Jesus had his beard plucked out of his face for you and for me, and did it publicly. They stripped him naked and put him on a tree. Publicly he died. And he asked at some point, when you give your life to Jesus, water baptism is that public declaration. So here's a simple question. This isn't a condemning question. It's a defining question. What will you do with that next step? Will you walk in it, or will you push it to the side? Let me give you some other next steps. How many of you have come to Victory long enough to hear us say, talk about growth track? Raise your hand. And you might say, growth track. If I hear growth track one more time, I'm just going to have to growth track something. Good. Jesus, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Growth track, growth track, growth track. Why do we do it? Because it isn't about you attending a class. It's about you learning next steps. Next weekend is 101. Next weekend is when you learn what it means to be a member of a church. Well, I'm not into organized religion. Let me say this really politely. That is stupid. I know why people say it, because they've been hurt or injured in church. I understand that part of it. That I feel very badly about. But it is absolutely asinine to say, I don't believe in organized church. That's like my arm saying, I don't believe in organized body. Well, you whop that arm off and stick it over there in the corner, it's going to die. And now we're going to have arm church. Ain't no arm church. You either in the body or you ain't. Now, it's not pleasant always at times to be in the body, because there are human beings in the body. I don't like churches full of hypocrites and messed up people. Yeah, because you're here. Anybody here not broken in some way? I'm not broken. See, you proved you're broken. You're in denial. It's never clean to be around people. You listen, if you want to have perfect relationships, have none. Go live in a cave on your own, have them ship food to you. You'll be fine. Eventually, you'll start fighting with yourself. But your next step, let me tell you, a Christian who is not plugged in and planted and blooming in the local church is an orphan. The local church was designed and defined by Jesus. It's his institution. I don't like church. That's like saying to somebody who's married, I don't like your wife. The church is called the bride of Christ. You don't ever get on a good side of a guy walking up to him and say, dude, your wife's ugly. Because that's what people are saying to Jesus. Love you, Lord, but I hate your body. Try that with your wife. Love you, baby, but your body's horrible. That's a good day for you. So you know what I think? I'll be married, but I'll just go have another body over here. Now, that's absurd in the natural, but that's exactly what people do spiritually. 101 is a time where you can come, and this may not be the church you're meant to connect to. And that's fine if it isn't. Find one that you should be, but every Christian should be connected, connected, serving, giving, pouring their life into their local church, making a difference in the world beyond their own needs, understanding that the scripture says that Jesus placed you in his kingdom, in his body, where it pleased him. Do you understand that there's a place as a believer, as a disciple, the Lord, I want to be where you set me to be. And see, that sounds, if you're not careful, it sounds like a burden, but it's not. I don't know if you've ever popped a bone out of joint. Anybody ever pop a finger out where it looks like this when you're done? Is that unbelievably painful? Anybody ever, if you ever played ball or sports, now of course, now they bring you to somebody that knows what they're doing, but years ago, the coach would come over, give me your finger. Pop, and they'd pop it back in, they'd tape it back up and say, you're fine, go back in. You ever had a bone out of joint? Oh, painful, painful, painful. But most people don't understand that when you find your place in the kingdom, the head of the church flowing through you, through others together, amazing things happen. And people learn to live their whole life like a bone out of joint. Next weekend, during this service at 10:30 in the Old Sanctuary, the Present Youth Center, There'll be 101 class. If you've not gone through 101 yet, that's a next step for you. So you mean the class? No. What the class shows you, your next steps as a Christian. Every Christian should be connected and a member of a local church. Now, here's what you need to understand about church membership. I'm going to slow down a little bit. Church membership is not permanent. Being a Christian is permanent. What do I mean by that? Just because you become a member of Victory doesn't mean you can't leave. This isn't the mafia. You can get out. But I can tell you, there are a lot of people that don't want to become a part of a church because they feel like if I leave, I'll be ostracized or people will say there's something wrong with me. Here's my only ask if you ever leave here. Go find, be in another church that's feeding you God's word and you're a blessing. And it's none of my business where people go to church. So if you're ever, you're coming here, you're here 4, 5, 6 years, decade, whatever, and you feel like, you know what, such and such a church, we feel like we're drawn there in our family and we're going to serve there and we just feel like that's where we belong. Well, I'm not Jesus. I'm not the head of the church. You go. And you don't have to, if you see me in a grocery store, you don't have to duck me. It's not my business. I'll celebrate it with you because you've taken your next step. See, religion says somebody owns you. Jesus is the only one that owns you. This church doesn't own anybody or anything. That's why I'm saying, but every Christian, and I don't care if you're going to be here for 3 years or 30 years, you need to get planted in this church. It is, listen, a Christian without a home church that they're connected is living like an orphan. So real simply now, here's how it gets down to real life issues. Next weekend, you'll have a decision to make. Will you, if you've not gone to 101, and it can't get much easier than coming to church, put your kids in their classes, and going into another room. It doesn't get much simpler. But you have a decision to make. Will you make it a priority in your life? How about this? Will you make it as important as a ball game? Because you know how important those are. How about a Steelers game? Now, I like Steelers games, just so you don't misinterpret this. God loves football. He's a Steelers fan because he loves winners. He hates the Patriots because he doesn't like cheaters. I say that out loud, Steve. You know, you have an inside voice and an outside voice. That time my inside voice got on the outside. So look, I love going to a ball game. But you know, diehard football fans, what do, Ben? They get up, they're outside the stadium at 8 in the morning eating sausage. And I don't mean breakfast sausage. I mean, they're just cooking, eating bad food. It is a day of bad food. Then they go in, they watch the game. It's like, and they go crazy over 6 points. And no one's giving you anything. You paid money. You spent your whole day. And depending on how old you are, you've been sitting on concrete. Your legs hurt by the end of the day. You give $50 just to sit down somewhere. But here's the deal. All that for something that will pass away. People will make incredible commitments to go do something like that. And that's fun. Go for it. But you have a decision to make. Next steps. Your next step spiritually is to find out what it means to be a part of a local church. And at 101 next week, we share with you, what does it mean to be a part of Victory? What does it look like here? The whole growth track process is designed to show you next steps, not just for a weekend, but for your life. 201 is talking to you about the essentials of the faith. 201, and Pastor John Spencer teaches it so well, will help you understand what it means to be a person that knows how to put the word of God in their life, how to make that a part of your everyday next step, how to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. 301, and remember, they run concurrent, first, second, third, fourth Sunday of every month, 101, 201, 301, 401. It is easy and it is predictable, and all you have to decide to do is to do it. 301 is where you have an assessment and you discover your gifts. You discover how God made you. You discover the uniqueness of your giftings. And then 401, which is going on right now, you actually can apply those gifts and find a place to serve in this church. Say, what if I serve somewhere and I don't like it? Just us, come here. Don't do it anymore. Isn't that genius? Go do something else because nobody owns you. If you're out serving and you say, man, I really wanted to help in the cafe, but you know what? It's not what I want to do. I feel like I'd rather, whatever, work with the youth or the children or young adults, whatever. Find the place until you fit. And when you fit, have a blast. Well, I can tell you, you will meet people. People say, well, this church is too large. If there's 8 people in a church and all you do is come and leave, it's too large for you too. You've got to connect. You will make the best friends in your life. You will have people that will pray for you, stand with you, love you. Those when you serve together, small groups together, these are all next steps that people can either say yes or no to. So the questions today, really, really simple questions. What will you do? Who will be the determining factor of what's your next step? You or God? Will you take it, and what is it? Those are everyday life questions, aren't they? Your marriage bad? You struggling? What's your next step? I just want it to get better. Well, good luck. It's not how it works. What is your next step to make it better? I wouldn't go to counseling. Idiots go to counseling. No, idiots don't go to counseling. Did I say that out loud again, Steve? I'm sorry. If things aren't working, you need outside help, whatever that means, and go get it. If you break your leg, this isn't rocket science, go to the emergency room. Don't stay home and say, I'm just hoping it's going to pop back in. You got a bone sticking out of your thigh. And they look over and go, oh, it's all right. Give me an ice pack. We'll be fine. No, you got some days ahead of you, but it can get better. But there are some next steps. Here's what I want you to, as I wind this down this morning, here's what I want you to remember about next steps. They can appear feeble. They can appear to be just no big deal. And they can be painful. But when they're in God, they always pay off. So I want to ask you, if you've never been water baptized, what will you do on the 23rd and 24th? If you've not gone through Growth Track, if you've not been through 101 yet, where will you be next weekend? It's not my business. I don't know who is and who hasn't gone through it. But I'm saying to you, you have a choice to make. And you can now look at your life and say, I said yes to a next step, or I said no. Every step you take, it will never cost you. Let me tell you this in closing. It will never cost you to obey God. Obeying God doesn't settle up the second Saturday of every month. But let me tell you something. Obeying God pays rich dividends, dividends beyond this life. Amen. And a peace that passes understanding and a joy beyond comprehension and an enablement from God that can take you into areas where your family has suffered for generations and you, by the grace of God, can stop that train of misery. And this can be your life. And all you've got to do is take your next step. Success is not a secret. Take next steps. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your great grace that's upon every person in this room. Your great and amazing love that abounds toward the precious people in this room. Oh, how you love people. Oh, how you love people. Father, I pray that not one person under the sound of my voice is hearing this through the lens of condemnation and guilt and shame, but hearing it rather from a place of understanding how amazing your love and grace is. If you're here today, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, let me ask a question. Every one of us have a next step to take in our life, all of us. And one of the values of this church is find your next step and take it, and then help someone else find theirs and take it. Maybe you're here today and your next step is to be water baptized. Maybe it's to take the 101 class. Maybe it's to apply some of the things you've already learned in 101, 201, 301. Maybe you just haven't even connected in serving. I don't know what your next step is. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's, I don't know. But I tell you this, I can promise you this. If you have any sensitivity to God at all, you know in your heart right now some next steps that God's asked you to take in your life. With every head bowed, eye closed, and I imagine everybody's hand in this room should go up. I know mine will. What is the next step God's put in your heart to take that His grace is upon you right now? He'll help you. Let me start by asking you this. If you've never been water baptized since you've given your life to Jesus, are you willing to take the next step? Are you willing that weekend of the 23rd and 24th on the weekend, in conjunction with the weekend service, to get water baptized? Are you willing to take the next step and follow Jesus? If you've not been to 101, are you willing to take the next step next weekend at 10:30? Instead of coming in here, you go into the youth auditorium and go to 101. Just those two alone, if either of those two apply to you, or maybe both, and you're saying to God today, Lord, I want to take a next step in you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray for every person who lifts their hand. Just say, that's me. Lift your hand real high, and then you put it right back down. Real high. Be bold about it. And then put it right back down. And I would, now let me ask this, and I think all of us should raise our hand for this. How many of you, maybe it's not water baptism or 101, but you know there's a next step that God's placed in your heart that you've seen in the Word or otherwise. And you say, God, today, I'm going to take not a leap, not 7,000 things. I'm just going to take that next step. Would you raise your hand real high and just make a commitment before God and to ask Him now? I'm going to pray His grace upon our life for that. Father, I thank you for next steps. I thank you that we take next steps in this church, that we as individuals, I pray over every person with an uplifted hand, those who have yet to be water baptized, those who have not gone through the class 101 to learn what it means to be rooted and planted into a local church. I pray over them. And I pray for every one of us who know our next step, that your grace is sufficient to enable us to take it. We thank you for that. We praise you in that. And we receive it by faith. As heads remain bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life. If you died today, you don't know where you'd spend your forever. Because there is a forever beyond this life. Jesus said there is a heaven, and Jesus said there is a hell. And when you die, you go to one or the other. And oh, the awful price that He paid to be able to purchase your salvation, to pay the debt that you could not pay for your sin. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that He died on that cross to bear your sin debt, was buried and rose from the dead, and you'll receive Him into your life today. If you will do that, He will come and turn no one away. And when He comes, He takes your sin and gives you His righteousness. So if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I didn't ask you if you're a good person. I commend you if you are. I didn't ask you if you're religious. That's fine. I didn't ask you if you're a member of a church. That's fine, because no church can make you a Christian. No membership of any church can make you a Christian. No sacrament of any church can make you a Christian. And that includes this one. Only by receiving Jesus do you step into the place of calling yourself a follower of God, a follower of Christ, where your sin is washed away and you're heaven bound. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'd like to be included in a prayer this morning to invite Jesus in your heart, you're not sure, and you say, I want to follow Him, and I don't know that I've ever made that decision. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand, and then the whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Lift your hand right now, and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Be bold about it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. There are hands everywhere. Thank you, thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One last moment. You can see I'm not singling people out to embarrass them. Thank you. You've not yet raised your hand and said, yeah, Pastor, include me with that prayer, right with everyone else, right where I'm seated. Just lift your hand real high right now where I see it, and I'll pray for you. Do it right now if you've not yet done so. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Hey, listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, if you're watching this broadcast or listening to this, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do it right now. With every head bowed, every eye closed, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. We'll pray it together with you. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life. In Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior, Lord, and King. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God, and my sin is washed away. I am heaven bound, and Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give Him a hand, would you? Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.